Welcome to A Billion Realities, where we explore all topics related to spirituality, psychology, and the power of the mind. And now your host, Jessica Gerlach. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today. And let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training. And use code REALITY20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website, again, is podcastcadet.com.
Welcome back to A Billion Realities. Today on the show, we are speaking to the founder of Team Gateway to a Cure and former NFL cheerleader, Jennifer Cobb. Team Gateway to a Cure is partnered up with the Michael J. Fox Foundation and the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center, making great strides in raising awareness and funding for Parkinson's disease, brain disease, and movement disorder. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hello, nice to see you. Oh, nice to finally speak to you.
Yes. You're doing incredible things on the planet, and I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Absolutely, likewise. So I saw that you are originally from Chicago. That's one place I've not been. What was it like growing up there?
Oh, it's interesting. People from Chicago, if you're in a suburb, you automatically are from Chicago. So I was in a southwest suburb, a small town called Orland Park, and born and raised there. And my dad was an electrician, and he worked many of the iconic buildings downtown Chicago. John Hancock Building, did a lot of electrical, did some work for Oprah Winfrey at her studio in her home. The owner, the creator of Precious Moments figurines. I don't know if you know of them, but they the creator for that. He did a lot of work. And so my dad was... worked a lot downtown, but he also did a lot of residential work, and it was just really cool to go on the job sites with him and see him kind of do his thing. And the funny thing about that is, what did Jen want to be when she grew up? And you're gonna think this is just a hoot. I seriously wanted to be a concrete layer. When I see that truck come up and pour that concrete and see it mold like a child sitting at an arts and craft table molding Play-Doh. It was the coolest thing to see what this liquid would form into. And I just was always fascinated by architect and different elevations and ceilings and walls and just the creation of what goes in to you know, from the mind on paper to finally seeing it in life, and kind of gives you a little bit of perspective of our lives. You know, we are born and we live and we go through and we morph into older little ones, older, you know, you're still a in your mind, you're still a child at heart. And for me, growing up and loving my father, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1999, right around the same time Michael J. Fox went public with his disease. And at first, I didn't notice much of a difference. And then over time, it started to wear on him and his body, and things that he used to effortlessly do, such as climbing, you know, the ladders and going and bidding jobs and such. And over time, he had to retire. And he basically, as a hero in my eyes, I look at my dad and is, you know, still like I'm 16. And it broke my heart to see what Parkinson's has taken from him. Yeah, he is still Ty Cobb and he will forever be my dad, but it changes you as a person. And so what I wanted to do over time is use my platform coming off the NFL field to cheer on others that may be in a similar position as I, to share your story and understand that you're not put on this earth to save and try to change and bring, let's say, for instance, my dad back to when he was in his 30s and 20s. Parkinson's changed that, and I'm okay with it. So what did I do is I just enjoy where he's at, and just love him. Because at the end of the day, that's exactly what they want. They want to be remembered, and when you're with them, that they are funny and they like to play games of Uno, and I love to beat them at checkers. We like
sounds
to
like
watch
my childhood
shows, and we gather in the kitchen and we cook food and we break bread together at the table and we reminisce about stories and we laugh and joke, and that is what we need to get back to. And so my time in Chicago was wonderful. And after graduation of college, it landed me in St. Louis. I graduated in dietetics and landed a job at Cardinal Glenn and Children's Hospital and worked there for a number of years.
Amazing. Wow. And so where are you calling in from today so that our listeners know?
Yeah, I'm in St. Louis.
Amazing.
Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri, which is about 4.5 hours from my house in Chicago. Wow. And I actually was driving home from work one day and I heard over the radio that Mrs. Frontieri was bringing the Rams from L.A. to St. Louis. And I thought, she's hosting open auditions. Well, growing up, I was very much into gymnastics and cheerleading. I did gymnastics young and into junior high and high school. And never was on a select team, like as you call them now. My parents didn't have a whole lot of money, so I took advantage of the front yard.
Okay.
My tenacious personality would, I mean, you couldn't Google back then, but I tell you what, if I was going to learn a cartwheel, I'm going to be out there in the front yard all the way till mom calls me for dinner. And I was fortunate enough to have a gymnastic coach that lived next door to me. And so she'd help me. And helped me learn how to do flips and stuff like that. And I would not stop until I got it. It was just the funnest thing.
That's
so
fantastic.
When I heard that they were having open auditions, I thought, well, as you know, college cheerleading and high school cheerleading is much different than professional. You're a performer, you're a dancer. And I didn't have a whole lot of that growing up. I didn't have a lot of training in dance. But you know what? I was going to go and try out. And hey, if I walk out and I make a friend and have a good time, good for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I did.
I love it. So you started the organization, which is called Teen Gateway to a Cure, and you're making tremendous progress raising awareness and funding for Parkinson's disease. So was your dad the main driving force behind starting the foundation?
Yeah, so I started hosting 5Ks and raising money for research, which is what the Fox Foundation does. And Michael would honor me in New York City for my efforts. And over the years, you know, I raised quite a bit of money and it was great, but something else was pulling at my heart. And that was the one that's behind the scenes in the four walls of your home. No one ever talks about, and that's the caregiver. The one that mm-hmm. does it every day, that kisses them on their forehead, fills their belly up with food, drives them to and from their doctor appointments, tucks them in the bed and does it again the next day, and never complains. And just where do they go for their downtime? Where do they go for their support? Mm-hmm. And so I did some research and found out that now insurance companies are recognizing the caregiver as the second patient. They have financial burden. They have depression, anxiety, physical exhaustion, no sleep. You know, the 5Ks are great. Yes, it's great to raise money for whatever disease you might be running for or walking for, but you always see a caregiver right next to them. And at the fancy dinners, when you have auctions and you're raising money, who's sitting next to the one that has the disease? The caregiver. And so you never hear of a 5K for a caregiver. You don't really talk about the day-to-day ups and downs that the caregiver has. And if mm-hmm. they're not supported, how can they be the best support for those going through whatever the disease is? And so that led me to really connect with Lani Ali, Muhammad's widow. And she gave me a great insight to the Muhammad Ali Legacy Care Program, which focuses 100% of their efforts on caregivers, the ones that are behind the scenes caring for their loved ones. And if they're okay, then the one going through it will be okay. And so what does that look like? And going back to what I said earlier, is the number one thing you have to remember as a caregiver is you are not God, Junior. You're not a savior. You're not there to rescue them. And oftentimes that's what we have in our hearts. And what needs to be done is retrain your brain to just love them and enjoy them and take the ups and downs. And reach out for support, others, family members, neighbors, friends, and say, hey, I'm in trouble. I've hit a wall. Somebody needs to come over here and give me some time to myself. I can run some errands. Someone needs to come over and maybe cook a meal. And don't mm-hmm. be afraid, because you have to look at what your network of people are, and those people got you, and you have to reach out. And people are very philanthropic. They want to give. They want to open their hearts. And that gives them the opportunity to do so.
And would you say that a huge part of that is releasing any guilt that you have for having a tough day when you're a caregiver?
Yeah, and it is, because you have guilt. Well, the guilt is a little pride. If you really break it down, your pride is standing in the way, because you're feeling a little guilty because this person's battling disease that you can't save. Well, you're not there to save them. You're there to love them and care for them. So you have to get that out. And then oftentimes you have adult children like myself that, you know, my age, caring for, you know, a parent, let's say, or a grandparent. And you have some emotional history that you haven't resolved. For instance, you know, if you're a father and you're raising children, well, where was he when I was in little league football? Why should I stop my life? I'm raising kids. I'm married. I'm starting a company. I'm trying to save money. And now I need to stop my life and care for him. Well, where was he when I was in little league? He never showed up to any of my football games, and she never showed up to any of my, you know, cheerleading competitions or ballet recitals. And I need to stop my life and care for her. So how do you let go of that emotional history and meet the person where they're at? And that's really a very big question that I often get asked at these caregiver conferences. And a lot of people struggle with it because it does take commitment to re-strategize your day-to-day life to be there for your loved one.
Ooh, that's a lot too. And I love your point. It's such a valid point about looking at it from a different perspective, because a lot of the ways that we react is because of the way we're thinking about something, the perspective that we have. So great advice. Can you explain what the difference is between Parkinson's disease, brain disease, and movement disorder? And also, how are they connected?
Yeah, so the brain is an amazing organ. And I have learned so much about brain disease. And the brain disease is categorized as Alzheimer's, which is the sister to Parkinson's. It affects a different protein in the brain. And so just to give you an example, Alzheimer's, you don't see anything physical, but mentally it changes. They don't remember things, you know, all of the things that come from Alzheimer's. And Parkinson's, their memory is sharp as a tack. It's super great. There is no memory loss as the body degenerates, but you see it in movement. You see dyskinesia, you see the tremoring, you see the shuffled step, you see the freezing moments, which is where the body freezes, but the mind's telling it to move and it can't, it's just frozen. And then the shaking, the dyskinesia and the twitching in the head starts to go because stress is a trigger. It's important that the Parkinsonian community understands that you can combat stress through physical exercise and activity. Just because you have a brain disease doesn't mean that you're automatically going to sit in a wheelchair for the next 10 years. You have to get out there. And with Muhammad Ali, Rock Steady program, which was invented by a group of scientists that looked at the boxing movement. And if you look at it from the perspective of being inside the ring, how the shuffling from side to side, you know, the bouncing off of the ropes, the punch jabs into the bag, that works the movement of the vocal cords, because voice projection is very important with Parkinson's. They start to lose their voice, the projection of their voice, and their handwriting gets small. So art classes is great. So it's important that you understand that that is movement. And in the brain, in order to get a true diagnosis, it's very, very important that you go to a neurologist, not just a GP, a general practitioner. Because if you go into a doctor, a general doctor, and they check the boxes that they notice physical symptoms, you'll be, you know, put on medication and diagnosed as Parkinson's. In order to get a true diagnosis, it's truly Parkinson's, you have to have a 3D dimensional scan of the brain. And Dr. Ryan Walsh is the leading scientist out at the Barrows Neurological Institute out in Phoenix, Arizona. And he is, as we speak, currently doing a number of amounts of research to enhance the diagnosis of this disease.
Wow, that's really valuable information. I think that can help a lot of people just knowing that, because if you go into, you know, your general doctor and get, you know, tested for, or what they think is Parkinson's, and you're diagnosed with the wrong thing, that means you're going on the wrong medications. You're not getting the care that you need. So.
Yeah. And it's important to activate yourself in that perspective. And if you are not in an emotional well-being and you're affected, and you notice your loved one is going through a lot of changes, then you need to call on your people that are in your circle and say, hey, I'd love for you to go with me to this appointment and for another set of eyes and ears, so you can maybe ask some questions, because that I might not be thinking of, because I'm in an emotional state anyway. Right. And, you know, it's just really important that you have that support So, you know, it's a family unit, and it's, and it's a teamwork for a reason. It's called teamwork. And we work at, yes, it's going to change. Yes, things are going to be different. But if the, the other perspective to that is the degeneration of care that that loved one is going to receive. And if you think about it, it, it is a plan. Everybody works better when there's a plan. As a dietitian, me and the kids, we meal plan on Sundays. Okay, what's Monday night dinner? What's Tuesday? We all plan. No one ever asks. We write it on the, put it on the refrigerator, and we know exactly what's for breakfast. We know exactly what's for lunch or dinner. And there's no question. And each three of my kids do a planning. You know, Alyssa does one day, Zach will do the another day, Will do the other day, and Mom's got Thursdays and Fridays, and the weekends is free for all. So, you know, and it also brings the kids back into the kitchen. It allows them to open up when they're cooking. They tell me things. We connect. It's a great way to spend some time with your kids. You're cooking anyway. I mean, if you're somebody's going to dice the onions, it's not going to be me. So anyway,
I love this. I'm all about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm like, phones away from the table. Like, that's, you know, time to talk. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. And most people open up when they do things. You know, my boys open up when they do things. Alyssa opens up. She's a girl. She tells me things. I mean, it's just, it's 15, 30 minutes in the kitchen. Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be this big, you know, chef oriented, you know, 50 ingredient recipe. I mean, it can be as simple as spaghetti and meatballs. I was raised in the kitchen. My dad was a more of a cook and my mom was more of a baker. My brother Joe is out in Montana. He's a chef. And I love to cook. And then I was fascinated by the science behind it, kind of a science nerd. But I loved seeing what food can do. And nutrition, food and nutrition is very, very important for all brain diseases. And it's important that you, if you are diagnosed with a movement disorder or a brain disease, that you consult with a dietitian or a nutritionist and get yourself on a good nutrition plan, because it will keep the inflammation down, which is a really big deal for the Parkinsonian community.
I've heard about that. A lot of foods can cause inflammation. And I've had a lot of people on the podcast talking about, you know, food that heals the body. And I think it's amazing and so, so important to know.
Yeah. I mean, we live in this instant gratifying world. I mean, everything's Instagram and Snapchat and 99 cents supersize on the corner of every street. And, you know, the US, I mean, we are the fattest country in the world. And that's because everything is, you know, the tongue likes three things: fat, salt, and sugar. You know, you take one out, you got to replace it. And it's in a marketing thing. I mean, you go into these organic restaurants and you see this beautiful, colorful menu that's throwing these code words like kale. And, you know, their chicken can be dipped in salt and sugar, and they throw it on a organic lettuce. And I mean, they got to make money, but you just got to be smart about it. You know, I mean, instead of going out and spending $15 on a salad, you're better off just getting the chicken and the lettuce yourself and going home and making it. And you know, it just takes a little strategy, a little planning. But once you do that, it makes it a lot easier in your life.
Absolutely. I'm really fortunate because I live in Serbia. There's farms all around. We grow a lot of our own food and it is very organic still. But when I go back home, you know, it's much more difficult when I'm in New York to eat like that. I mean, it's not, like you said, if you plan, you know, you just have to plan. Our background sounds so similar. You know, your dad was an electrician. My dad was an electrician. He loved to cook. We were always in the kitchen. Food was, meals were a big thing, you know, and healthy food.
We get back to, you know, I have a very simple formula: protein, carb, and vegetable, fruit. I mean, you got your columns, pick one of each. And then we go to the, you know, internet and we, okay, we have our protein. We have fish, chicken, we have beef, goat, I mean, there's so many different varieties, or you tofu it, or legumes. And then you got your carbohydrates. I mean, it's not complicated, but most people make it complicated, and it's easier. Once you get in that habit of going through the drive-through, it's hard to get back into the kitchen.
Definitely. So I wanted to ask you about your film. So you were the co-executive producer of a documentary called Race for Another Day, the Dr. Gerald Medoff story. Can you tell us about the discovery that Dr. Medoff made before he sadly lost his own personal battle with Parkinson's? And how has his discovery served as a breakthrough regarding brain disease?
Yeah, so it's A Race for Another Day. It's a documentary that's in post-production. I had the honor of meeting Dr. Jerry Medoff in St. Louis. It was prior to COVID, and it was the Cardinals' last game, baseball game, and he always loved the Cardinals. So They asked me to go to the game, and they were going to film me as I questioned him and asked him how caregiver plays a role in his life, kind of shifting the dynamic a little bit. And I don't know if people are aware of his breakthrough, but Dr. Jerry Medoff became famous when he invented the 21-pill cocktail for HIV virus 20 years ago. And so now if you are diagnosed with HIV, you take one pill and you live a normal life. It's because of his breakthrough back then, kind of like what COVID is going on with us. You know, they're trying to find the breakthrough. And, you know, having said that, during quarantine, we were told to stay home. It was very quiet. A lot of people had self-reflection at that time of their life, and you can only imagine that's the normal life of a caregiver. That's how lonely it is. So you need to put things in perspective. But going back to Dr. Jerry Medoff, 20 years later, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he himself was taking 21 pills for Parkinson's. So you look at A Race for Another Day, and you see how it unfolds over time, where the biggest medical breakthrough came 20 years ago, and now you live a normal life, you take one pill. So where will Parkinson's be 20 years from now, and how they are uncovering this breakthrough in brain disease? And so A Race for Another Day, until you, and the next day is a race, but you have a caregiver. How important that caregiver is racing for another day of life.
Incredible. Wow. So you organized a 5K walk and you named that Soul to Soul. How did that name come to fruition?
Yeah. So my dad has such a sweet soul, S-O-U-L, and Parkinson's affects your gait, your step, S-O-L-E. So that's how I came up with the name.
I love it.
Isn't that sweet?
So
I
sweet.
Know. He's just a sweetie. And my mom is just such a hero. She's a great caregiver. She does such a great job. She does a wonderful, just loving him and just doing such an amazing work with dad.
That's beautiful. That's really amazing. So I'd like to talk about what could potentially be a sensitive topic, albeit a highly relevant one. Can we discuss brain donation and why is it so important to these types of diseases?
Yeah, so there's a brain bank in Chicago, Jane Manzuris, who is a high school friend of mine. We connected just recently, and she described to me how important it is that we donate our brains to science. The brain is so incredible, and it will help in the discovery of how chemically what's going on. It'll help scientists unravel some of the biggest medical breakthroughs 20 years, hopefully earlier than that. And so it's really important that people understand even if you do not have a brain disease, it's still very important that you donate your brain to science so that that can help uncover some of the greatest, you know, medical mysteries of our time, which is brain disease, Lewy bodies, dementia, Alzheimer's, ALS, MS, Parkinson's, I mean, concussions. So it's truly brain cancer. So it's truly important that people understand how great that you are in a position where you are given the choice at the end of your life that you donate your brain so that you can help others during, you know, the next number of years.
Absolutely. You could literally be saving lives due to offering something that you don't need anymore, of course. Is it one of the least donated organs?
That's a good question. And I don't know the statistics on that. But, you know, I can find out. I don't know which organ is the most donated in the human body, but I do know that there is a low percentage and we're looking at, you know, making it higher. And so understanding, you know, the brain bank where it's, you know, stored, the brains are stored, that it will help scientists unravel that. And so I'm so proud though now. We have a pill that actually reverses the damage to the brain that Parkinson's has done. And so that's a huge medical breakthrough as of a few months ago. Dr. Perlmutter, who is the lead research scientist here in St. Louis at WashU, he and I have spoke, and he's also in the trailer of A Race for Another Day. You can hear him speak on the pill that they now, the Parkinsonian community will take, that it actually reverses the damage that Parkinson's has done to the brain.
Is that levodopa?
No, levodopa.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that levodopa is a Parkinson's medication that helps the dyskinesia and the tremors.
I see. So the new medication that was recently discovered or created, it actually reverses the damage.
Yes, it reverses the damage that Parkinson's has done to the brain.
That's
I don't
true.
Know where we are in testing, at what level, what phase, if it's in phase 4 or if it's still in 3 or if it's been approved by the FDA, maybe we are in that, you know, phase. I don't know. But as I unravel or that becomes, you know, public, I will definitely put it on the website, which is www.teamgatewaytoacure.org. And you can go to the website and read on all of the points on caregiver support, articles, new medical articles that are being published. And you can go on to learn more about the disease. If you are newly diagnosed, your family needs to know, go to the website, teamgatewaytoacure.org, and you can read what sort of symptoms to look for, what sort of care to look for, what you should ask your doctor when you go in. And as a caregiver, how you can help, you know, support you. There's support care, you know, support groups. And thank goodness for telemedicine and technology that we have laptops that you can talk to your doctor through video chat, but you also have support and advocate programs that are available through the internet. The Muhammad Ali Legacy Care Program offer classes that you can log into, and you can do these different classes to help support you if you're feeling anxious or depressed and you need to reach out. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. I don't know why we feel like we have to do it all. I think that needs to change. I mean, I'm good at a lot of things and I'm bad at a lot of things.
Aren't we all?
And it's okay. It's okay, because we're not all created the same. It's called unique for a reason. I mean, just saying. So it's important, and good for you for recognizing it. If you need a team of people around you so you can be the best of you, good for you. At the end of the day, when you hit your head on the pillow and you go to sleep, you know that you did everything you could in order to make sure that loved one is cared for.
Absolutely. So speaking of caregivers, this is exciting. You have a book coming out, children's book out this fall for caregivers, correct?
Yes, it's called Share for Care. And basically, we are in the early stages of gathering data through survey of children ages 5 through 25. What we want to do is we want these children to share their stories of how they care for their loved ones, how they connect with their loved ones. And through the data, we're going to have a writer is going to, and myself are going to write these mini stories. And what we want to do is we want through the eyes of a child, how creative and how bonding that can be to caring for a loved one, bringing hope to a loved one. I mean, if you look at a grandchild that walks into the room with grandparents, their eyes light up. They're so excited. And those children, you need to recognize how important it is that your presence plays a huge role in loving your loved one and being there to support them while they go through these diseases and the process. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of money. It doesn't have to be expensive to bring love to the table, you know, sit and play a game of Uno, you know, watch a movie, go for a walk, pick flowers outside, talk about, reminisce, chit chat, you know, cook a meal. And if they're not capable, then they can watch and you do all the prepping. But it's important that children understand that they're through their eyes, how important that their love and support to give hope back to the one that's going through the disease. It's incredible. And so that's what Share for Care is going to do. We are going to showcase the stories of these children and how important their role plays in loving their loved one.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I think it's an amazing point and, you know, angle even to have in this book, because raising like energy, you know, raising someone else's vibration, it can change the way that they handle things and the way they feel. So that's really great. What do you feel it takes to make a difference in this world? Like, what do you feel is the best motivator?
For me, it's gratitude. 100%. I gratitude journal every day. And it's one word that I come to put on paper. And I recognize through my day what I'm truly, truly grateful for in my life. Because life's going to hit you so hard, and people are going to be mean, and there's going to be evil, and there's going to be nice. Absolutely. But there's going to be some tough days ahead. And so it's really important as an individual that you give yourself a pat on the back and be grateful for the things that you have been given and that you're able to give if that's the position you're in. So I would say gratitude was 100%.
Love it. And you're accomplishing so much with Team Gateway to a Cure. What are your future goals when it comes to brain disease?
Well, supporting the caregiver is our number one goal. And what does that look like? And Team Gateway to a Cure has done an amazing job with raising awareness for caregiver support. And so a lot of these hospitals now are putting caregiver programs in. Insurance companies are recognizing them as the second patient because of what they're going through. And people are keeping their family loved ones at home. People want their family loved ones in their own, you know, four walls of their house, so they can smell the smells of the meals and see their loved ones' pictures on the wall and hear the voices of them coming and going. And so, you know, not that there's anything wrong if you're not in the position that your loved one cannot stay at home because you do not have a caregiver and you need to put them in a home. Completely understand that. That just changes the trajectory of the care. but it's important that if you are in a position to have your loved one at home, and you know, you need to understand that that you're in a position of being incredibly grateful. That, you know, not everybody can be in that spot where they can have their loved one at home. Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think in my time, I'm hoping, I'm praying that during my lifetime of my dad, that we have a breakthrough. And I'm trying to be optimistic, but then there's another pessimistic part of me in my mind that thinks if we can get him to a point of comfort and just enjoy the rest of his life, then you know, we've done our job.
Makes sense.
Our role as loving family has done, you know, we've worked it through. So that's my hope.
Oh, well, with the new medication, it sounds like there could be some sort of breakthrough with reversing what the damage that's done, right?
Yeah. And that was just made over the last couple of years. So you can only imagine what it's going to be like, you know, 5 more years from now. It's just, it's these medical breakthroughs are just getting more sophisticated. So,
yes. So there's hope. So a lot of people who do humanitarian work like you do that I've spoken to are, you know, they feel like they're on a spiritual journey. Would you describe yours as a spiritual journey?
Yeah, I'm absolutely, you know, every day we go through things and it improves us to, or allows us to self-reflect. And I think watching Dad go through what he's going through and watch my mom caring for him daily, it has allowed me to really, really appreciate how important health is, or how important family is, togetherness is. Just sitting and enjoying your loved one right there. I'm so grateful that I have that opportunity to reminisce with Dad and kick his butt in checkers. So I'm just so grateful.
I love it. I really do. It sounds so sweet. So I think you're incredible. You're doing such amazing things. I love what you're doing with your own kids and your family, and keeping that tight-knit, you know, bond there, doing things to share with each other, create that environment, what you're doing for your dad, but look what you're doing for the world. So it brings me to this question. Would you say that legacy is important to you? And if so, how proud of you of your legacy on this planet? Because you've already done so much.
Yeah. So I want my children to see their mom more than just a really great PB&J maker, that my mac and cheese is the best in the world. You know, I mean, let's get real here. I make a great peanut butter and jelly. I gotta tell you, mine stands on top of everybody on this block. I gotta tell you, if there's a mom of the year, dang it, I want that trophy. I think I deserve it. I want it. I'm going to get that trophy. Is there one? I don't know. But if there is, I am mom of the year. But at the end of the day, when my life has come to an end, I want my children to see my heart, and I want them to see the love that I have for my dad, and what I have done through my life to give back. And if they are sitting there or standing there at my eulogy and they speak those words, I know that I raised my kids the way that God wanted me to.
That's beautiful. So before I close out, what do you want the world to know about who you are, what you're about, and what you're doing?
Jennifer Cobb is about inspiring others to give hope back into their hearts and to their loved ones. That if we can gather together through creative ways and ideas, we can help all of our loved ones just by getting back to the very simplistic care of just loving your loved one and give them hope that another day of life, knowing that they're supported is so incredibly huge. I'm so grateful. I've been given the platform coming off this NFL field as an alumni cheerleader. And allowing my voice to cheer on others that may be going through the same situation. I'm here to share my story, and through my inspiration and through my education and my knowledge and my perseverance, I'm going to continue until. And that's what I want others to know Jen for.
You're an amazing human being. You're a light worker. You're a healer.
I know I'm a good PB&J maker.
Yes, and so much more. And when I come to your area, I'm coming over for PB&J. Okay?
Yes. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yes. PB&J on me. So I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be a part of your platform to reach others. And my hope is that I will help inspire others that they're not alone. And as I end the show and I say my goodbyes, my gratitude today is you. I'm grateful I was put in touch with you, and I'm grateful that I'm a guest on your show where I can share my story, that it will touch others and they will know that they are not alone, that they are 100% supported. And if you have any doubt in your heart or in your mind, reach out to teamgatewaytoacure.org, and I answer all my emails, all my calls, and reach out to me, and I will do what I can to help support you.
Incredible. It's been such a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your personal journey, everything that you're doing. It's really been an honor. I'm so glad to meet you, and I look forward to staying in touch and following you on your journey.
Thank you so much. And God bless you and your listeners. And remember, next time you're in St. Louis, peanut butter and jelly.
You better believe I'm taking you up on that.
All right. All right. Well, God bless you all, and take care. Thanks so much.
God bless. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of A Billion Realities with your host, Jessica Gerlach. Visit us online at abillionrealities.com and follow us on social media at A Billion Realities. A Billion Realities is available on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Alexa, Reach.tv, or your favorite podcast service. A Billion Realities is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great episodes and content, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com today. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And until next time, remember, we are all but one of a billion realities.